So Athletics once again drag through it all as Dick Pound has released his second report into corruption and doping from WADA. Now, Pound has questioned how many members of the IAAF, including Seb Coe, didn't know anything about this doping. Now, this is very interesting to say. Some real revelations coming out in this report today. Just looking at some of the sort of key findings, IAAF could not have been unaware of the extent of doping in athletics. They've had inadequate governance in place to prevent corruption. Lamine Diack, of course, responsible for organising and enabling the conspiracy and corruption. That is what they're saying in this report. Let's get to our athletics correspondent right now, Michael Wade. Let's get him on the phone. Michael, this independent commission report today, some extremely explosive findings revealed in Munich.
Yeah, a news conference earlier on today with Dick Pound, an 89-page report that he has compiled. He published the first part of it, of course, back in November. That led to some of the news stories back then and some of the suspensions back then, of course. He's the former president of the World Anti-Doping Agency, and he's compiled this report today, which is particularly damning of the former president of the IAAF, Lamine Diack, who stood down in August after 16 years. And the words that he uses, he says that he claimed that Diack was responsible for organising and enabling the conspiracy and corruption that took place within the IAAF. It also states that the IAAF Council, which Seb Coe was a part of, could not have been unaware of the extent of doping in athletics. That's the key sentence. Could not have been unaware of the extent of doping in athletics. So the key question for me this evening is Seb Coe part of the solution when, according to this report, he was part of the problem? Therefore, is he the man to lead the IAAF in whatever happens next in the world of track and field, in the cleaning up of the sport and the restructuring of the sport, when it would appear, according to this 89-page report, that he must have known or been compliant in what's gone on before?
That is very true, Michael. I mean, if he's been somehow compliant in this, then there must be questions over his leadership here with the IAAF. I mean, they've put him in as a man who's gone out and said that he wants to clean up athletics. But if he's in any way complicit, surely he can't be the man to take that role.
Well, he said when he was elected back in August that it was completely untrue that the IAAF was complicit in the doping scandal. This report would suggest that perhaps that's not the case. Seb Coe's been a vice president since 2007. That's the case for the prosecution. The case for the, not the legal prosecution, I should add at this stage. The case for the defence, if you like, is that Dick Pound has come out and said he does believe that Seb Coe is the man to lead the sport. He's also got support in the world of athletics, certainly in domestic athletics as well. Pound has confirmed at that news conference today that he believes that Coe is the right man to lead the IAAF out of the mess. Now, that is obviously a job that needs doing. And if it's not going to be Seb Coe, who else is it? And you, as we have been doing throughout this whole process, draw the parallels with what's been happening at somewhere like FIFA. And lots of people are suggesting that what the world of football needs is someone completely independent to lead the governing body. And I heard former President Bill Clinton's name suggested, of course.
Wow.
That is maybe now the suggestion in the world of athletics. Is, does it need someone from outside the sport, someone from outside of athletics, to start the clear-up, to start the restructuring? Certainly the feeling today, and as I said, Dick Pound in the news conference today, and other people, well-respected commentators and journalists and former athletes, are all behind Seb Coe. But as we've discussed before, part of the problem here is that maybe athletics does need an outsider to come in and look at the sport and take a whole root and branch approach to it.
It does look that way, doesn't it? Because if you look at the figures involved, the people that are involved in these organisations, and it's the same with FIFA, I guess, really, isn't it? You know, they're all people who've been there for a long time, or, you know, they all knew each other. There was a bit of an old boys network maybe going on. And with that, these little favours, these little things, these are sort of turning your blind eye to certain things like the extent of the doping scandal. This is something that should never, ever have happened. And it's tarnished. Not, you know, you look at this, it's tarnished athletics. What's happening with FIFA's tarnishing football? It really worries me that sport has been not on the level for a long time.
Yeah, it seems when you read each of the reports and each of the findings across the various sports, everyone seems to have had their noses in the trough. And this report today states that Diack had like an inner circle, if you like, to who functioned as a sort of informal, illegitimate governance structure. And they appeared to sanction and have personal knowledge of the fraud and the extortion of the athletes that was being carried out by this inner circle. So Diak is implicated. The corruption charges in this report today also involves his treasurer, his personal counsel, two of his sons, and also the director of medical and anti-doping department at the IAAF as well. So they're all implicated. They're all being accused at the moment of this kind of structural cover-up of the doping allegations. It's institutionalized, state-funded in some cases, state-sponsored, if you like, doping scandal. You look at someone like Sebko, of course, only got elected in August. He's got the perfect track record for leading an organization like the IAAF and delivering the reforms and the changes that are required in terms of the fact he's the man that delivered the Olympic Games. He obviously loves track and field. He's a former athlete, a former world record holder, gold medalist, as we know. He's had experience at the top level of politics in this country, was very close to William Hague when he was leader of the opposition, held a senior role with the party there. So on paper, he's got the perfect CV for this. But there is this question mark that if someone who was at the top of the organisation or close to the top of the organisation since 2007 didn't know that this was going on in the 8 years that's sort of passed since then is he the man? Can he be trusted to be the man to clean it up?
He said in November 2015 that the first set of this was a shameful wake-up call after the vote from the council members banning Russia from the international competition. He said that was a shameful wake-up call. What is this going to be? The WADA Commission says that the corruption was embedded in the IAAF. I'm just wondering now where we turn. Do we turn to that figure outside of athletics? Do we find someone like your Bill Clintons, maybe, or another figure who can come in and go, right, OK, we're going to clean this up starting right now?
Yeah, my fear, and certainly, you know, reading a lot of what's been said and done by the former athletes and people that are very close to the sport over the past few weeks, few months, the past year or so, is this kind of arrogance attached to it that actually there wasn't a big problem. There's nothing wrong, nothing to see here, move along. It's just the work of a few mischief makers on television and in newspapers. My fear is that idea has been blown out of the water now. Sebko was elected in August, but he was elected by the people in his sport. I think he should be given the opportunity now to, put the reforms in place that are required. Whether that involves maybe having an independent commission, somebody from outside the sport to work alongside him, then I think that possibly might be a sensible way forward.
Obviously, it's the Olympics this year, and do you think this situation is going to affect, say, attendance or, you know, some of the coverage on the TV? You know, when we're watching some of these races, say we're watching the 100-metre sprint or whatever, the commentators, are they going to be a little bit cynical when it comes to this? Or do you think it's going to be brushed over when the Olympics are on?
Well, I hope not. I suspect there will be some cynicism from the general public. I don't think it will affect attendances unduly. I still think for the key athletic session in Rio, they will be a sellout. There'll be a fantastic crowd there. The difficulty about athletics, of course, and you know, we see packed stadiums. We saw packed stadiums at the 2012 Olympics for every session, morning and afternoon, or morning and evening. And we see packed sessions for things like the Anniversary Games and the Diamond League Athletics in this country. You put a big meet on in this country, it will sell out. The next big meet in this country is the Indoor Grand Prix in Glasgow. Greg Rutherford's going to be there, Mo Farah's going to be there, and announced this week that Sheffield's Jessica Ennis is going to be there. It was already a sellout. Other countries aren't like that. So, for example, when the World Championships were in Moscow, there were very few people going to the morning sessions. The Olympics is a slightly different kettle of fish. I suspect that the sessions tickets will be hard to come by. Whether they are all full, because obviously, as we know from past experience, a lot of those tickets go to organisations and federations and sponsors who don't always necessarily turn up. I think they will be fairly well supported on the ground. The television viewing public, I suspect there will be some cynicism between now and then. But the Olympics is a wonderful thing, and people do get swept up in it quite often. It does kind of take over. Certainly as a host city, you do get sort of completely and utterly involved in it. And I suspect that's what will happen again. And once we come round to Olympic time, once the torches lit and the flame goes on and the teams parade and all the rest of that, I think we'll probably just start enjoying the sport, and then we'll have all these thoughts, these inquiries, these conversations afterwards when some of the drug tests maybe start proving positive. We hope not.
Yeah, indeed we do hope not, and I think this is going to rumble on even more. Michael, I'm sure we're going to be speaking about this and much more before the Olympics, quite a bit, if you ask me. But for now, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, no problem.
Thank you, Michael.